I'm joined by Shirley Smith. As always, it's great to have her in studio here. She just sits down there, she just relaxes in the chair, and then she just sort of talks away, which is great. But today we're talking about a particular subject that's rather dear to my heart in a way. It was one of the sort of problems we used to have to deal with children very often, was children and sleep. Shirley, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Declan.
And let's talk about children and sleep. Let's talk about what we can do to help children who have... do you know what? I did it to you again. I didn't turn up your mic. I have now. Children who have problems sleeping. How do we deal with it? It's quite a problem for parents. It's probably even more of a problem now that they're going back to school. And the warm nights is another problem. So how do we help people deal with these problems?
I think the key thing is... it's very challenging for parents, and then parents are suffering from lack of sleep, which is an absolute nightmare. But we'd say going back to school next week, children have been on a summer routine, so maybe staying up later and all that. So like if your child has been going to bed at 10 o'clock, start bringing the time back. So from now, really. So it's getting them to start the bedtime routine at 9:30, and then tomorrow night 9 o'clock, until you get them to go into bed at the time that you think they need to be so that they can rise easily for school. So start trying to revert back into the school routine. One of the challenges, I think, for parents is if a child is going to bed, say, at 10 o'clock at night, and to be able to get up and rise, you know, at 7 in the morning for school, they need to be going to bed at 8, is that maybe a couple of days before they go back to school, they drop it back by 2 hours, and that can lead to resistance and a child not settling. So gradually bringing back the bedtime is... a good way to go.
And sort of like, we've only about a week or 10 days. Is it a week? Is it next week they're going back?
Yeah, they're going back.
Is it almost too late to start that now? Or
no,
can they start
it's never
now?
Too late. The earlier you start it, like I would suggest 2 weeks before, if that's the ideal. But we've got a week to go. So even if parents start tonight, bringing it back by 15 minutes, half an hour, they're making progress and making things easier for next week, so that children can rise and are less grumpy when they rise and are awake for school when they're going. So it's never too late to start that, do you know? The massive thing for children, I think, with getting to sleep is having routine. So developing a consistent routine and kind of sticking to it. So that might be having a snack, getting themselves, you know, washed for bed, into their pajamas, into bed, bedtime story, and lights out. So, you know, whatever it is that you decide to do, that you stick to that routine. So then a child knows when they're having their evening snack, their brain is starting to tell them already that it's time for bed. So that's one of the key things, is having a consistent routine. With teenagers, then you need to sort of negotiate and say, look, I can see that you're struggling to get up in the morning. What time are you going to have lights out by? And having the chats and negotiating that time and letting them trial out, you know, whatever time they've suggested. So if they say, look, I'm not tired, I think 10:30 is grand, and you feel that they need earlier, let them go to bed at 10:30. And if they can't get up the next morning, you're saying, okay, that didn't work, so I think we need to try my idea of going back to 10 o'clock.
Except that they're going to come back here to you and say, well, sure, if I go to bed at 10 o'clock, I'm wide awake, I'm not going to fall asleep, it's still bright, it's still warm. You know, so it's a difficult one.
It is. So the some of the things that help is, for a start anyway, cutting out screen time. So that includes TV, tablets, phones, about an hour before you want your child to be ready for bed. Because all technology is backlit, so it wakes the brain up. It stimulates the brain and it makes it harder to go to sleep. So if your teenager, say, is on their mobile phone watching social media or whatever in bed, that's going to create hassle. So helping everyone in the household, you even as a parent, keeping the bedrooms technology free is definitely something that will help older children. And even with the younger ones, not having in their bedtime routine that watching TV for an hour or unwinding in front of the TV before they go to bed is not the best idea. It's going to actually wake up their brain and make going to sleep more difficult for them. Then with the snack, thinking about the snack, you want a snack that's going to help induce sleep rather than wake them up. So sugars and carbohydrates are two kind of things that give us a false energy. So they actually wake up our brain. So things that are high in protein. So if you think of Christmas dinner, turkey dinner, everybody wants to have a doze after it because turkey's high in protein. So something in protein, yogurt, you know, hot drinks if they're old enough. But, you know, like hot milk or a drink of milk. Dairies and proteins are all helpful with inducing sleep.
But not turkey, ham and Christmas pudding every night.
No, but I'm just leaving that as an example that the doziness that you get after that. Then the other thing is lie on their bed during the day and look at the room from there through the eyes of your child. Is the room too stimulating? So it could be the colours on the walls are very bright and keeping them awake, or there might be objects on shelves that create shadows. So when they're lying down, what could create shadows in the night? So things that parents love getting dream catchers and they hang them off the ceiling, or mobiles and they hang them off the ceiling, but they actually create shadows and they can be scary for children in the night. So having, if you want to hang something off the ceiling, put it behind the child's head or away from their eye line so that they don't see shadows whilst they're lying in the bed. Dolls is another thing. You can have dolls on a shelf and you've a load of eyes looking at you when you're a child. That's the way you look at it. And that can be scary. So lying in the bed and thinking about what shadows and objects can they see from their bed and removing those. So bedrooms really need to be calming, relaxing spaces. So having them free from toys and technology is the ideal. But I know for some parents, space is an issue. So thinking about where they're stored in the room is the thing. So not having them in the eye line of the child while they're lying in the bed.
That's fascinating because a lot of the time parents like to keep the room very stimulating in a way. You know, you feel you have to input into the child all the time. And that's not necessarily the right thing to
do. The bedroom would be the one room that needs to be the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It needs to be like calming colours and very neutral and have as little stimulus in it as possible.
And by calming colours, what sort of, what are we talking about? Just sort of light, sort of magnolia everywhere like we do, like we used to do in all Irish houses.
Greens or, greys, because they in the night they create that you can't really see it. It's a neutral colour.
Right.
Colours that aren't like bright pinks, bold, you know, even pale blues are lovely, do you know, but like bold colours that would stimulate. So try and think about it from through the eyes of your child. Lie on the child's bed using the pillow that they would lie on and look at the room through the eyes of your child and see what kind of shadows and stimulus can you see. Because toys can make them want to, like if you can't sleep, you'd be tempted as a child to get out of the bed to go play with your favourite toys. But if they aren't in the room, you're more likely to try and settle yourself back to sleep. So that's another idea. Then for some children, they love that deep sensory input. So they love the feeling of hugs and so a weighted blanket or a heavy blanket might help them feel more secure without you. Or even wearing a T-shirt so that it smells of you and then letting your child snuggle up to it if they find that they're missing you, you know, during the night, or if they find it hard to sleep without you being there, if they don't like that you leave the room while they're still awake, then having a T-shirt that or an item of clothing that has your scent can really help them to snuggle in and feel secure. For some children, they love that, especially under fives, they love that rocking sensation. So even having them sit in your lap and rocking them over and over for 10, 15 minutes while you're telling them a story or, you know, but yeah, and keeping the room technology free. So not having like where they watch a night, even some of the things that are supposed to be designed for sleep for children, if it's via a device, then I'd avoid it. Taking out a book and reading them a story. Your library, go join your library and you can take out lots of different books. They have a great selection. Reading your child a story, even if they're only 3 months old, they're looking at your face, they're listening to your voice, and it's all very good. And it's healthy, I suppose. It's a way of educating them, but it's also a lovely way to connect with your child, and it helps induce sleep.
So we'd say things like, you know, the wind-up mobiles and that sort of stuff that go jingle-jangle along the way, probably not a great idea, even though we've all used them in the past.
White noise isn't a bad idea, I suppose. It depends on, like, you wouldn't want music with that has drums or, you know, but listening to the sound of the sea. So sometimes there are apps on parents' phones or YouTube where it's the sound of the sea or white noise. They're actually not bad, particularly if you live in a busy house. So you've got older kids downstairs still making noise and the younger one is trying to get to sleep. Playing white noise in their room can actually help drown out that and aid sleep.
Right.
So, you know, it is about picking up those things.
And you can get white noise, you can get it on Spotify, you can get it on any, you know, on your,
yeah,
every, and you can get it free, there's free devices as well.
Yeah. Now, some children then like to go to bed with half the world of stuffed toys. And what I would say to you is let them. There's a sensory need that they have in it. But let them rearrange their teddy bears to the way that they like, because they're going to arrange them in a way that helps them. So it makes them feel like they've got protection or they've got something to snuggle up with. Some children like complete silence and darkness. And other children need a nightlight. They like to have a nightlight because they're scared. If children are sharing a room and the child's old enough, then consider sleep mask and earplugs and that type of thing for the child that doesn't like, can't go to sleep with the lights on or with noise. And try and look at ways if they don't like the light and they don't like noise, try and look at ways that you can reduce that in the bedroom. So blackout blinds or blackout lined curtains, you know, and white noise in the room can help with sound as well. To think about it as well, if children like weighted blankets or heavy blankets and that hugs in the summertime, they're extremely warm. So having, it's called a Lycra sheet, provides the same thing, but it's much lighter. And you can look on asiam.ie, so that's a website for children with autism. But even if your child hasn't got an autism diagnosis, they might be sensory seeking at night time. So it's worth looking at those things. Those kind of things really help to help children, you know, to go to sleep. Then if they're not able to get up in the morning, or they struggle to get up in the morning, it usually means they haven't had enough sleep. So looking at the time they go to bed and how often are they waking during the night, you know, is something that you need to look at to help with the morning time. But generally in the morning with teenagers and stuff, we can, especially on school mornings, us as parents are stressed about getting them out the door. We can be a bit barky.
You're not serious.
So if I definitely know I was guilty of that. But actually opening the curtains and a gentle wake up is a lovely way. Like the first 30 seconds, you know, be gentle and open the curtains and let the natural light in to start them in the waking up. Time to get up now, you know, that we don't need to be, come on, it's time for school, you know.
That's okay after the 10th time you've gone in to wake them, is it?
Well, I'd say start with the gentle and
work your way
the curtains. Yeah. Now, for kind of more ideas around, you know, helping with that mindfulness, getting to bed and building up your routine, I would suggest going on. Bernardo's have an excellent website. And if you Google heart, body, mind on barnardos.ie. They have lovely ideas that are all free, low cost, where you can do a mindful moment before sleep, or, you know, an experiment. Every child is going to be different. Some children are going to love bear hugs and the weight of the blanket. Other children, that's too deep pressure. They like having their back rubbed or having their hair brushed or a head massage.
Cheek stroked.
Cheek stroked. It depends. So you're going to have to do a little bit of detective work to figure out what each child likes. Then when it comes to what do we do if our child wakes up in the middle of the night? So we've got them to bed and here they are coming into us and awake. What I'd say to you is have a think about, are they too hot, too cold? Are they unwell? Do they need the bathroom? You know, are they waking to go to the toilet a lot at night? And assess that kind of issues. It's not uncommon for children every so often to have a nightmare. So they wake up, they've had a bad dream, and they want they want to feel secure. They want to know that you're there for them and that you're okay. What I'd say is avoid turning on big lights, the main lights, because that wakes them right up. So we're trying to get them back into a gentle sleep. And walking them back to their bedroom, keeping a low voice, you know, a calm voice, and saying, okay, it's all right, you're safe, I'm here now for you, time to go back to sleep, and bringing them back into bed. Helping them find their snuggly blanket, the t-shirt that has your scent, whatever it is that's going to help them, and tucking them back in, you know. Stay with them for a couple of minutes just so that they get really settled down. And, you know, like, I'm here, you're safe, it's time for sleep again, and just leaving. So not getting into too much conversation with them. Because again, that just wakes them right up.
Some parents then bring them into their own bed, and that can become habit forming almost, or it becomes, is that a no-no, or is it just, I know when you have a tired child in the middle of the night, you'll do what must, but.
Yeah, look, I just think that that's up to every parent to make their own decision with that. It can lead to children feeling too hot or too cold, but they'll grow out of it, at some point. So just kind of keeping an eye on where in the bed they are, and that, you know, you don't roll over them if they're too small, and that they don't get too hot.
And of course, it's illegal to bring a child into bed if you've alcohol taken.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
But, you know, like, on the whole, what I'd say is it's everybody's personal decision. You know, some parents are all for, I'm okay with it, and other parents are insistent that they go back to their own room. But so it's up to them. If they're missing you and they're wanting in your bed, and this isn't something that you like, then give them an item of clothing that has your scent on it so that they can snuggle up to it. If it's something that it's not your preference. If they've had a nightmare, a soothing touch and a cuddle, and get them back to sleep. Dismissing their fears, like saying there's nobody there or everything's fine. Like, you know, if you dismiss the fear, you just make it worse, because then they think they're not being minded. So saying, that sounds awful, or you look scared, but it's okay, I'm here. So acknowledge the feeling. And then move on to, it's all right, you're safe, I'm here, let's get you back into bed.
So what about having to check under the bed half a dozen times that there's no one there?
Yeah, but if that's going to help them to what they really want to know is that if I'm scared, you'll be there for me. This is a testing ground for that. So be insecure. Avoid snacks during the night. So if they say they're hungry, I'd say avoid snacks. Give water if they're thirsty. And if you find they're going to the toilet a lot in during the night and that's waking them up, then maybe reduce the intake of fluids right before bedtime. And that's everything.
That's not a bad idea for adults either, may I say.
No. And obviously, if they're unwell and you're not sure what to do, the HSC website is great and has all the different steps and procedures if a child has a temperature, common cold, and gives advice on when to contact the GP and when to manage it at home. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, and that's a very, very good site. It is a very, very... It's very just practical and common sense, really, you know. Now, you have some stuff coming up in the Family Resource Centre.
Yes, so in the autumn, we'll be running the Parenting When Separated program. So that's for parents who are separated and want to reduce the emotional impact of separation for children. And we're accepting names so people can get in contact with us.
And is it for both parents will say, or is it for one? You know, do you know what I mean?
We don't recommend both parents attend the same course together.
Right.
Even couples in a relationship disagree on parenting, or, oh yes, I remember it well. So if you're coming, you wouldn't be coming with your child's other parent.
Right.
So that might give some people a bit of security. And then for parents who are maybe new to the area or want to connect and make friends with other parents in the area, we're running Cafe Connect on Tuesday mornings from 10 to noon. No appointment necessary, just drop in and see us. And they're just sessions with Nora. And Nora is the HSC social prescriber. And they're just warm, fuzzy, fun sessions helping parents get to know other parents in Youghal and maybe find out where's the best place to go to get your hair done? Where do you go if you want to buy X, Y, or Z in Youghal? Just, you know, and helping parents make friends with other parents, really.
Yeah, because you do see, I mean, if you go for a cup of coffee, you'll see groups of women with newborn children that are sitting around. And then other times you see women on their own with a child, you think, you know, if they could only connect up somewhere along the way, it would be lovely. And that's the idea behind that,
I presume. It is, yeah. So just over a cup of tea, just sharing. And we'll have different ideas and different fun things going on that people can join in or not join in.
So how do they get in touch, or how do they do it?
So they can contact me. So my number is 086-047-1060. Or they can email at info.yallfri@bernardos.ie.
That's absolutely brilliant. As always, Shirley, thanks a million. You're a fountain of knowledge.
Thank you so much, Declan.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.